This question here.
Thank you for two great talks. Dr. Chazot's talk was great. I have a question. You mentioned hyperkalemia as one of the factors that would require you to do frequent dialysis. And I'd like to ask the two speakers about the pharmacologic management of hyperkalemia, the agents that we have available. Mm-hmm. Can we just use those as opposed to doing hemodialysis?
So Dr. Chazot's, the question was for you, management of hyperkalemia, right?
The non-dialytic correct. Management, I believe that's what you're referring to. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so Roberto Pico Fallet yesterday had an excellent discussion of that. Do you want to make any comments, either one of you, on the interdialytic management of potassium?
So the question relates of the management of hyperkalemia?
Correct.
Yeah, well, I think it is standard. Well, at least in my unit, performing thrice weekly hemodialysis, it is dietary counseling and resins, usually on the day of non-dialysis, and sometimes every day when it is required. But if we can, we try to improve the dialysis dose for these patients, increasing the time, because in our unit we have the possibility to increase, to have 6-hour or 7-hour programs. We are organized for that. And this is a legacy from the past in which we dialyzed our patients 3 times 8 hours for everybody.
I can tell you what we do.
There is no special attitude about hyperkalemia, I would say. And I would like to add a comment. My, residual renal function, now it is in many papers showing a survival advantage. In Tassin, we never care. We never cared about residual renal function. Our goal was to dry the patient. When the patient was arriving to the dialysis unit, first of all, we decreased the body weight, because we knew that 95% of them were fluid overload. And we didn't care about killing or not the residual renal function. And eventually we killed it, because most of our patients became anuric or severely oliguric after some weeks. The benefit of this, we had a very good control of blood pressure. And I think this played an important role in the high survival we were able to publish. And it was mentioned in one of my slides, one of the fear I have about preserving at any cost the residual renal function is to keep the patient fluid overloaded. And we know that fluid overload is not good for the patient. So I think we have a question there, and that has to be addressed.
So if I could also address this, since Dr. Arif Asif started this question, and you expanded to...
Yes, I'm sorry.
Residual kidney function. Yes, residual kidney function, actually, the more frequently you dialyze the patient, the faster it goes away. In fact, in Japan, they call dialysis medical nephrectomy. Why? Because when you start a patient on dialysis, and you have seen in AKI data too, that there are some studies suggesting that dialysis may not be beneficial to kidney longevity. So this is your choice. You can choose to preserve kidney function, or you can choose to do medical nephrectomy and get it over with faster, and then do 8 hours to 12 hours a day of dialysis as they do in South France. But do you really believe that in this country, your patients would agree to come 8 to 10 hours of dialysis 5 times a week? If you think so, then do this total body irradiation. That's essentially what they're doing.
I'm going to see if you can read this. I can't really read this. Did you have one, Cam? Did you answer?
Yeah, actually, there was more question about residual kidney function, if there are data. I think the best analysis of whether or not twice weekly dialysis preserves residual kidney function is what Dr. Chazot summarized in 2 or more of his slides. Our data suggests, but again, our data are not randomized. Our data suggests, however, that those 0.5% of patients in the U.S. who started twice weekly they had residual kidney function lasted longer. But we need to do this in a randomized way. That means patients who make the same amount of urine, randomize them twice weekly and thrice weekly, and then after 6 months and a year to see who still makes longer or more urine, who still is waking up at night to go to bathroom. One question I always ask my patients, do you still wake up at night to go to bathroom? When the patient says no, then I immediately tell the patients, look, it's time for you to increase your dialysis thrice weekly.
I just would like to correct something, because you showed the FSM trial with the decline of the residual renal function, but this was the nocturnal FSM trial.
That's right.
If you go to the daily short FSM trial, there is no effect after 1 year on the residual renal function. It is comparable between the two groups. So, I don't know if twice weekly, but at least the short daily didn't show a decline of the residual renal function.
Well, I had patients in that trial because of the nature of the trial. Those that were randomized to six times a week, I took care of, and I had so there were three such patients in the FHN trial, and I want to relate to you what those patients said. All three of them said, I feel better dialyzing six times a week, and the day this trial ends is the day I leave the trial. And the reason is because of in-center. I don't think it's because of the frequency of dialysis. I think it was the hassle of coming in-center, which now then justifies, if you're going to do more frequent dialysis, do it at home. It's the patients will tolerate that better.
Well, if I could also agree, I mean, to go the same line of discussion. If your patient doesn't make urine, patients probably would benefit from three times, four times, or even five times. The more frequent dialysis, the better. But we're talking about an era. I mean, I try not to overuse the precision medicine as an excuse to justify what we are doing. Dr. Golper has been doing it since 90s, but now that we have that keyword, precision medicine or individualized dialysis, maybe this is where we have to revisit what great people like Dr. Tom Golper have been doing, and to adjust this for 2019 keyword of precision medicine.
There's a couple things different about practice of nephrology outside the U.S. I'll give you just a few examples. One, and you heard this commented upon yesterday, maybe it may have even been by you, Charles, I'm not sure, or perhaps Dr. Kuhlman. But in Europe, you see patients more frequently. And that is important because the doctor's observation of what's going on would argue towards the increased frequency when you think that's necessary. Another thing related to the question on potassium, because in Europe, furosemide is packaged as a 500 milligram tablet. Now, in the United States, people's mouth, their jaw drops open when they think of that.
That's right.
And I would say, just so you know, my standard incremental patients are taking, because of the U.S. Formulation, 480 milligrams. They're taking six a day of 80, 160 three times a day. And they're on bicarbonate, and that's what I asked Roberto yesterday. And the bicarbonate does two things. So not only does it help neutralize the acid retention, but it also acts as a poorly reabsorbed anion, which then draws potassium with it. So you can increase the residual renal function excretion of potassium with bicarbonate, particularly when you hammer them with loop diuretics. Now, the contra to that is, the ears are a problem. I'll be glad to provide you the data on thousands of milligrams a day of loop diuretics, and the ears are just fine. So, again, it's individualized therapy. This can be done. It is not for everybody.